They've all been coerced, all duped, all groomed, and they're all innocent. That's what the father of an Australian woman trapped in northeast Syria says about how his daughter came to be caught up with Islamic State. Dozens of Australian women and children are facing a perilous fate alongside 70,000 people in a camp for relatives of IS members. But the campaign to rescue them stepped up a notch in Canberra today with the father of an IS bride, Kamal Damousi, mounting a fierce defence of the women and children and telling the government the women do not pose a security risk.
There is no evidence to us that there are a risk. And if there are evidence that's available, then obviously the rule of law would be applied. But I would also really stress very quickly the majority that we're looking at are children. The vast majority of the children that we're looking at were children. And if there's questions of what they've been involved in, I mean, when you have a 19-year-old woman that was taken as a child, that is now an adult, and there are numerous children that were taken that have now become adults. She's had 4 children in 4 years, and she's 19 years of age, and she's 39 kilos as well. So, and you have an 18-year-old with 3 children. I mean, the women were taken over for a very clear purpose of actually being as child carers, as child rearers, as baby factories. And that is the majority case for most of the women that have been there. If there is an odd bit of information here, the normal due process should apply.
Save the Children is among the international aid agencies working in the zone up until recently. Archie Law is the humanitarian director for Save the Children and joins me tonight. Archie, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia.
If aid agencies are vacating, how can these women and children be physically rescued and moved to somewhere safe? And where do you propose they be moved to?
Well, look, the window is still open to be able to access these camps, and it's still possible to be able to extract people from their camps. Other countries have done this recently, including the US, the UK, Kosovo, France, Kazakhstan have taken 100 people out of these camps. And the Kurdish authorities said, look, they're willing to support the repatriation process and, you know, work with foreign governments to repatriate their nationals. So that window is still open, but it's closing very rapidly given recent developments on the ground.
The Australian government says Australian officials will not be put in harm's way. How can this concern be addressed then?
Look, we've been having this conversation with the Australian government for a while. And look, a grandmother's got in there with a film crew to do a story for Four Corners. A grandfather went in there with a Four Corners crew, you know, just 5 weeks ago. Look, I think people can get in there, and to suggest that an Australian official can't get into that area now and is in too much in harm's way, we think that's a bit of a stretch.
How confident are you that there is a real option and a safe passage?
Look, there is, as of today, Patricia. Things change so quickly in that part of the world and in Syria particularly. But we know we can move international staff up to that border. We have national staff in northeast Syria. But you know, we're very confident that that safe passage can be established.
What's in it for the Kurds to help?
They've always been willing to help out. They've said it for months now. They've supported repatriation efforts from many different countries. I think you have to ask, it'd be interesting to hear from them on, you know, what's in it for them, if you like. But it seems like they see themselves as the custodians of, you know, these nationals of other countries, and they're willing to pay the broker and get them out of Syria.
Once they are moved to a safer place, then what happens? What's the precedent for this kind of transfer?
Yeah, look, I suppose the precedence is that, you know, as I was saying, so many countries, you know, have repatriated a lot of people. And it's not a complicated move as far as, firstly, you know, the Kurds will take the Australians you know, the 66 Australians, get them to the border with Iraq, and then it's straight over the Tigris River into northern Iraq and then into one of the cities in Iraq where they could be processed. I think, you know, in a sense, the main thing that we've got to that has to be focused on is they have to be moved out of harm's way. And, you know, that window's closing. It's days, not weeks.
The government maintains that these individuals, or at least some of them, pose a security threat. How can you refute that with any level of confidence when the minister responsible has actually stripped the citizenship of some of them?
Yeah, I suppose, look, you know, we've got the resources, you know, we've got the legal system, the rule of law is strong in this country. You know, we can deal with this sort of situation if people have a legal case to answer. If they've broken the law, they should face justice. But at the same time, you know, we need to remember that most of the 66 Australians and, you know, are kids, most of them are under 5 years old. So the children can't be held responsible for the actions of their parents. I think we've got, you know, two separate cases here. But, you know, the government's put in a lot of legislation as well with the temporary exclusion orders and everything that's in place. So it seems like the legal framework is in place for the repatriation, and what we require now is some political decisions to do it.
How compliant are they going to be with Australia's security agencies?
We haven't been engaging directly, you know, with the women in the camps, but obviously with Kamal Debussy and the families. And, you know, Kamal has been saying today that, you know, each of the Australian women are very willing to comply with security agencies, and, you know, we're seeing the same sort of footage as everybody else in the country who's following the story. And but in talking with families, everyone's saying, look, if there's a case to answer, we'll answer that case in the courts. If we need to engage and comply with the security agencies, we'll do that. So yeah, we're not seeing anything other than people saying we'll do what we need to do to be able to get back.
Where do you think their loyalties lie, with Australia or a failed caliphate state?
Yeah, I think the main priority now is for people just to stay alive and just to look after their children. I mean, some of the messages that have been broadcast today out of this camp, you know, I've been involved in humanitarian work now for 25 years, a lot of the time in the Middle East. And what I saw on TV today, when you've got young women terrified, that's what I see. And that, and all they're focused on is how do they stay alive and look after their kids. You know, I think that's, for us, we want these kids to be made safe. And then it's up to the Australian government to determine, you know, what crimes may have been committed and who, you know, who needs to be brought to justice.
What kind of reception have Save the Children had in Canberra today in discussions with departmental officials?
Look, there was a really warm reception for Matt Tinkler from Save the Children and Kamal Debussy, representing the families. But at the same time, we're talking to bureaucrats and concerned MPs. We've written on numerous occasions to the Office of the Prime Minister, to the Foreign Minister, seeking a meeting. We've been in contact with the Home Affairs Minister seeking a meeting with Kamal, and every time we've written since May, and always suggesting that this window is open temporarily, and we've been saying that now for the last 5 months, they've responded and said, keep talking with members of their department, which we've continued to do so. But ultimately what it comes down to is that political decisions need to be made to affect this repatriation. And for that to happen, you know, we'd like to talk to the political decision makers directly and to be able to have that conversation. At the moment, we're getting shunted aside to bureaucrats and officials.
Archie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
And that's Archie Law, the Humanitarian Director for Save the Children.